Let's go, weird guys. It's a Benchwarmers movie review.
Lights, camera, action.
We are back. Welcome back to Fourth and Flicks, your sports movie review podcast. I'm Bandy. That's Trey. This is Fourth and Flicks. What's up, buddy?
What's going on, man? What's going on? We got a good one this week, The Benchwarmers. What a good, funny movie. Yes. But before we jump into that, I do think that because we are first and foremost a fantasy football podcast, we need to bring up Stephon Diggs getting traded to the Texans.
You ain't lying, bro. You ain't lying. Hey, Texans is going to be something, man. They made the playoffs without a main guy. Nico Collins is the number two.
All I got to say is Stephon Diggs is mad about not getting targets. And he's going to a team with Nico Collins and Tank Dell and Dalton Schultz. Like, how is he expecting more targets there?
I mean, you're not wrong, buddy. You're not wrong. What do you think? He goes in this first, second? What do you think?
I don't know, man.
Is it too risky?
It's too risky. Yeah, definitely. And now every receiver on that team is risky for me because I don't know who CJ Stroud's looking for.
Yeah, you're right. But hey, man, crazy stuff going on in the NFL. But we're here with the Benchwarmers Sports Movie Review. Loving it, loving doing this, buddy. We're just going to keep this going. Keep it going. So let's get into it. It's Benchwarmers, directed by Dennis Dugan in the 2006. $65 million at the box office. That kind of blew my mind, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty good.
It is pretty good, man. A lot better than I thought it was going to be. 13% on Rotten Tomatoes, starring Rob Schneider, David Spade, John Heder, John Lovitz, Nick Swartzen. Some awards that this movie won. It won a couple Razzies, you know, Worst Actor, Rob Schneider. There was some Kids' Choice Awards, I think, that they won, something like that. Adam Sandler, he with them Kids' Choice Awards, man, he's racking them up back there.
Oh, yeah.
Good stuff, man. Let's get into a plot overview of The Benchwarmers. A baseball-loving millionaire, John Lovitz, helps three inept nerds, David Spade, Rob Schneider, and John Heder, form a baseball team to compete with the meanest bullies in the Little League. One of the trio becomes the hero of nerds everywhere until his fans learn that he was once a bully, too. Oof. We're going to get into that, ain't we?
Let's get into it.
Let's get into it. Indeed, an ode to remember, Trey. Long, long time ago. Tell us about the first time you saw this movie.
Yeah, I had to really think about it, but I think I remember the first time I watched this movie was actually when it came out in 2006, when it finally, you know, hit the Redbox or whatever I had on DVD at the time. Yeah. I don't know if Redbox was around then, but I know I got it on DVD. I put it in. I was like, oh, yeah, another Rob Schneider movie, you know, and I loved it. And I was excited to watch it because it was Rob Schneider, and then it was great.
Trying to think back when I first saw, man, I can't remember, honestly. I feel like it was also on DVD, though. Like, I just remember the, you know, the DVD home screen, how it would just keep doing the same scenes over and over again. I feel like it got left in the DVD player, and it finished, and that thing, I can just hear it over and over in my head.
Oh, yeah. Hey, so, where are you going? Press play.
For sure. Good stuff, man. Personal favorite scene in The Benchwarmers, Trey. What do you got for us?
Yeah, man, there's so many good scenes in this movie, but if I had to go down and pick my very personal favorite, the one that I think about when I think about this movie that cracks me up every time, it has to be when...
I feel like it's going to be the same thing. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I don't think so.
I know? Okay.
It's when Howie... Okay. Has to go get the Girl Scout cookies. Okay, so he goes out there with the sword and he's all scared and the girls are standing there and he charges at them and these little girls run off and he just grabs all the boxes, runs back inside, slams the door.
And then like the way he runs in the house and literally just throws the cookies everywhere.
slams the door.
Yeah, dude. That guy, man, Nick Swartzen, dude, he's comic gold, man.
Oh, yeah.
I love that guy. Okay, so I just feel like this is a scene that is just sticks out in my head every time I think of this movie. And my favorite scene is when the Dominican guy, you know, he says he's got the little paper and he's like, he's got documentation. I'm 12. Slips a 10 in there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and a cameo to the catcher, you know, making his way into all those items. That's the same dude from Waterboy, the side coach or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
With the Cajun. Eye. The Cajun. No, it was the Cajun dude, from Waterboy, the coach.
Oh, that guy. No, yeah, he's everywhere. He's in like all dudes' movies. Yeah.
I love that guy.
He's got documentation. Yeah. And it's like just a 10. Too.
Yeah.
Like,
take like, 2. Like, I mean, it's like, I was like, okay, it's Little League. So, you know, he's probably making 10 to call the whole game.
Yeah.
You know, so he's like, hey, double money today.
Yeah. Time and a half. That's awesome, man. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. Just that Dominican dude, like, he's getting drunk and he's like, mijo, vamos.
You smell like beer. You look like beer.
He's like, I need a refill. And he's like, what are you laughing at? I need a refill. I love it, man. That's every time I think of that movie, that is where my head goes straight to that dude. And that's a dude from Prison Break. Yeah. Shout out to the guy from Prison Break, too. Awesome. All right, most iconic scene. We got your favorite scene. Now, what do you think is the most iconic scene from the Benchwarmers, Trey?
In my opinion, the most iconic scene has to be the first pickup game that Richie and Clark played and against the team. You know, when they first go to the field, they're just going to hit some balls, and they end up playing for the field. You know, and Richie and Clark just can't play for shit. And when Richie goes up there and he's like chopping down at it, and he's like, it's not a sword, and he's like, you're not a sword.
Bro, David Spade, I think, helped make this movie. Dude.
Oh, dude,
he was just the one-liners this guy was spitting out, dude, were incredible
constantly.
I can't wait to get to the quotes.
That scene, another good quote from that scene that made me like that scene is when he's like, oh, I ticked it, and he's like, but I caught it, and he's like, but I hit the ball, and he's like, but you're still out. But you're still fat.
You're still fat. Dude, it's just funny. I feel like I wonder how much of his stuff was ad-libbed, bro, because it just feels like some just classic David Spade witty one-liners, you know? I loved it.
I think half of my quotes are David Spade.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think, yeah, me too, bro, me too. Okay, let's get to the most iconic scene. It's when he, like he's rounding third base. I can't remember which game it was, dude. And like he's coming and like the other team is rounding the base, right? And he's trying to tag him out, and he throws it past Richie, and Richie's like,
"Oh!" And he runs all the way back there, and then he throws it in, and still got to get.
And he like flips in the air, dude. Just like it's just.
He's like, "Damn it! I got to carry this team."
No kidding, he had to do it all.
Yeah, but he still. You know, made him part of the team and never felt like, you know, like never made it look like he was having to carry the team. They were all a team, regardless of how much effort he had to put out.
Exactly. Yeah. Like he was like, I think Clark was in the outfield and he's like, I want to go home. And he's like,
I got to get these guys in the game.
Yeah, exactly, bro. Exactly. Yeah. And then this one's coming to you, buddy. Awesome, man. I loved it. All right, now let's get to what's aged the best in this movie, Trey. What aged the best in the Benchwarmers?
Yeah, I got a couple here. First off, sunscreen. The guys at the game with the letters on their shirt, you know, they're all just burnt.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, okay, well, maybe sunscreen probably would work. Not eating sunscreen, though. Shout out to Howie at the end under the table. That's not where we're going with that.
Yeah, dude. You talking about the guy? What about the guy on the bench eating sunscreen? And he just nonchalantly looking around.
Yeah, he's got a jersey.
Yeah, he's got a uniform.
Another one I got is internet podcasts. Yeah, right? You know, they got the two kids and they're basically calling the game, but you hear them in the beginning. He's like, welcome back to my podcast. Da, 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 da. And that was like a, you know, 2006 podcasts weren't really as big as they are now. So, I mean, that was kind of a, I don't want to say open door for podcasts, but it made me feel at home when he said it.
Absolutely. It did. Absolutely. It did, buddy. You're right. Awesome. So what aged the best for me? How about the little guy winning?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess they were the big guys, but they were the little guys with as far as like athletic ability and whatnot.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's see. Teamwork.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong there. 100%. Can't go wrong there. And not taking all the glory. Like yeah. Gus, you know?
Yeah.
We're just talking about it. Gus
sharing the glory. The glory. Yeah.
Exactly. I love that.
I do have one that I think aged the best out of everything. Mm-hmm. And it has to be the Pizza Hut salad bar. Because that thing is fire, bro.
Always. It always is.
As soon as they were there, like, you know, going, I was like, oh, man, I want some Pizza Hut salad right now.
No doubt, buddy.
That good ranch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They did have some fire ranch, bro. Okay. So now let's go to what aged the worst in this movie, Trey?
Yeah. I mean, just off the top, grown men playing children. You know, you got to think they were these three strange grown men was like, hey, we'll play you for the field. Yeah. You know, it's just kind of weird, man.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I suppose they were weird guys, too. So,
yeah.
I
mean, yeah.
Would you want your kids playing with these guys? You know,
right. Like you're in your car waiting on your son to practice and you look up and these three men you've never seen before yeah. are out there playing ball with the kids. I'd be like, what the hell's going on?
That's a good one. That's a good one. I like that. What else you got? Anything else?
The R word was dropped a couple times in this movie. I feel like the R word was dropped in every movie from 2000 to 2010 at this point.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah. I have that one too, man. You know, calling the little guy a midget too.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody calls people that anymore either.
Yeah. But I mean, that in, you know, the movie kind of said that that was, you know, bullying and played on that. So,
which is why I have bullying also.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Aging definitely. Badly.
How about getting drunk at a little league?
Yeah.
I mean, you're just getting slaughtered in a little league, playing in a little league.
And he even comes around with like a thing, like with some tequila and stuff. You know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Sent the dude to go get the liquor, which I get it. You know, I helped him win, but.
All right, yeah. It did. Couldn't have done it without the liquor. All right, buddy. Let's move it on, man. Let's go to a scene that you could live without. A scene in this movie that you wouldn't have been mad if it wasn't there. What do you got?
Yeah, so mine is several scenes that I could live without. And it's any scene there's a titty twister. I'm just not a titty twister kind of dude, but especially the purple nipples. That it was just too much for me, man. It didn't have to happen.
Here's the thing. I'm with you, but the way John Lovitz is showing them at that one point, he's like, and then they look away and he's like, he's buttoning it up, and then he comes again. That was so funny. I would be remiss if I didn't admit that, man, while watching this movie with my fiance, she also said the nipple twisting stuff.
Yeah.
She could live without that
stuff.
Yeah,
I'm just not big on the titty twisters.
I think the wife wanting a baby for me, like that whole thing, like, I mean, it kind of fit towards the end a little, but it felt unnecessary.
Yeah, I get that. I think it was trying to like say, you know, like he's done with his childhood. You can't fix that. You've got adulthood to live through. And that was a way of making him an adult where he's still trying to work on his childhood and he can't have a child until he's finished with his self.
And that's the thing with this category, like trying to pick a scene that you could live without. I feel like I can always reason why that scene should in fact be there.
But I guess that's why directors make the big bucks.
I guess so, buddy. I guess so. I guess with the nipple twist and stuff, though, you could have lived without it, huh?
I could have.
I think it was all worth it just to see John Lovitz do that. I gotta be honest.
You love John Lovitz nipples.
I just love the way he just come at him one last time. Like he just loved the reaction.
He's like, wait, hold on.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, buddy. Exactly. All right, now let's get to this one's my favorite, I think, and it's The Replacement. The Replacement. Which actor could have done better? Now, again, I've said this pretty much every time, but a lot of times we don't think of actors that could have done better, but actors we would like to have seen in those parts instead. What'd you come up with, Trey?
I actually come up with a good one here, a trio that would replace the trio.
I like
that. And it's Christopher Mintz-Plasse, Michael Cera, and Jonah Hill, the super bad guys.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I think that Christopher Plaza would probably, the McLovin would probably be the Gus. You know what I mean? I feel like as in now times, like he plays more not as funny roles all the time, you know, where Michael Cera, I mean, and Sarah V and all that stuff.
That's
and Jonah
McLovin,
Hero.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. You
exactly.
feel like McLovin would play the Gus part?
I think so. Cause he I don't know, he has more of the, I don't, he is kind of the nerdy, but
he is,
I don't know. Anyway, I think that these guys would be hilarious, you know, yeah. In these roles. I just picture Michael Cera picking his nose in the outfield. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Oh yeah, bro.
And
yeah.
Jonah Hill with the one liners, you know?
Yeah. Definitely, yeah. No, that would be great. I mean, that'd be a movie. I'd like a Benchwarmers 2. Let's get super bad, you know?
Yeah.
I like that.
And I just want to throw out there, I would love to see Danny McBride somewhere in this movie. Yeah. Like maybe one of the opposing team's coaches.
Oh, dude, yeah.
Like, I just feel like he could play, you know, that asshole bully coach, yeah. you know, get out there and play.
But you can put Danny McBride in any movie, I think. I would like that.
Yeah,
know?
Man.
I could find a role for him anywhere. That dude is just
hilarious.
Just, he's magic, bro. He's magic. I've got Will Ferrell as Clark.
Okay. Okay.
Could yeah. be different. Could be weird. I could probably go in a little bit of a different direction, but I think it would be good, you know, like wearing the little yellow. Can you see him wearing the little yellow hat?
Oh, yeah.
Getting crazy. I just feel like that would be interesting. Or Adam Sandler playing Gus.
Yeah, definitely.
I feel like that could have definitely worked. Yeah. And he would have given it his own spin as well.
For sure.
I love it. I love that category. That is my favorite. Speaking of favorite, let's get to your favorite actor in this movie, Trey. Favorite actor in the Benchwarmers. Who's it going to be?
Well, I just want to say that David Spade did a great job as Richie, and I really wanted to pick him, yeah. but my heart goes to Nick Swardson as Howie.
Yeah.
To quote him in this movie, "For years I thought the sun was a monster, and I'm here to tell you it's not a monster."
Yeah, absolutely, but I just want to stand and clap. Nick Swardson definitely took it for me as well. The dude has got it, man. Nick Swardson always pops on anything that he's in. He's always so funny, just hilarious guy. And man, I love the role he played in this.
Yeah, and it's great acting because you know you would not think that character is also a normal person in real life, which I'm sure he's not the most normal person, but right. you know he's a group in society. You know he's fine, but he's playing a closet. You know it's just I don't know.
He's played a lot of weird roles like that.
Definitely.
What was it? Get Over It. I think he played like the German.
Yeah.
Pretending to be German.
Yeah,
or
he was like an exchange student or something. I don't know.
Something like that. Yeah. I love it. I love it, man. Nick Swardson, shout out to Nick Swardson, also happens to be a Vikings fan, if you were wondering. So
I did not know that.
I think he's a Minnesota guy, so that'll explain that. Okay, now let's get to another one of my favorites, the quote that lives on. This movie is probably one of the most quotable movies that we've done so far. I'm going to let you hit it out. I feel like you probably got one of mine, but let's go. Hit it with me one.
First, I mean, it was really hard for me because as soon as I started watching this movie, it was like every 30 seconds, there was another quote I could write down. I had to start pulling back and just taking the best of the best. Yep. But just to start off, one of the opening scenes, it's, "You just lost your membership at Video Spot."
Dang it.
And I just remember like it kind of brought me back to, you know, the Blockbuster and going to the movies. It was very nostalgic.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, people like kids that would watch that movie today probably don't even understand that joke.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to hit you with one now, man. "Keep it under a billion. It's all I've got on me.
Yes, sir. I like that. To rally with that.
Okay.
"I'm just one of those nerds who grew up to make billions," followed by "when he peels out, I've yet to perfect the peel out."
No, you did great, man. There were chicks watching and everything. I love it.
It's good.
All right, this one's probably one of my favorites. Let me paint the scene a little bit. David Spade's in the movie, a store that he works at, and there's that old guy that keeps walking by, you know?
Yeah.
I guess he's his boss or something. Yeah. He's like, "What do you think of my future wife?" And the guy's just like, "I smell cinnamon rolls." And he's like, "Oh, I smell cinnamon rolls too."
Yeah, I think that was like kind of like the manager, you know, and he's just like this, you know, but the manager just kind of lets him do whatever he wants because he's senile.
It's just like, oh, I smell cinnamon rolls too.
That's good stuff. That's good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, how about Clark? We don't play baseball. I told Gus that we would be there. And if we don't show up, that makes me a liar. And that's not what I'm about. Not now, not ever. Okay, okay, daytime Emmy.
Yeah. Clark's character, he's such a good actor too, man.
Yeah, yeah. John Heder. Yeah,
these I like guys him a just lot. Play. They're great.
I feel like he needs to do more things.
Oh, definitely. Well, he actually, we'll get to that later, but I guess a little something for later.
Huh?
Yeah.
Got it.
Okay, how about there must be steroids in macaroni because it makes your pee-pee small.
He's like, wow, he did all that without steroids. He's like, what's steroids? Oh, it makes your pee-pee small. There must be steroids in macaroni.
That's a good one. But my all-time favorite quote from this movie, this really sticks with me and probably is the most quoted for me.
Okay.
And when they're in the what I would call a Hibbett Sports.
Okay.
Okay. Oh. And the dude comes around and he's like, says something and he says, "I didn't know athlete had three syllables. That's amazing." Yeah. Well, we got a scrim image tomorrow.
It's funny because you ever say something for a long time and then you watch something, you're like, that's where I got that from. Mm-hmm. I've been saying amazing for years.
Yeah, bro. Me too. That's why when it clicked with me and I was like, that's where I got it.
Exactly, bro.
Amazing.
Yeah. I've been saying that for freaking years. I didn't know where I got it from, but now I do. How about Clark used to get beef laid on him all the time? Oh, and you didn't? I got wedgies. They were cooler.
Yeah, yeah.
It's different. It's cooler. I like that.
Oh, yeah. How about please stop with the shit tossing? It's getting old.com.
Yeah. That is a good one. That kid.
There's all the different websites you can go to stream. You know, he lists like three. It's like bitchwarmers.com, something. Please stop with the shit tossing. It's getting old.com.
Oh, that kid, dude. I also get a healthy helping of wedgies, toilet, whatever.
Swirlies.
He just says it so calm.
Yeah.
I love it.
On the regular.
Yeah. You got any more for us, buddy?
Last one.
All right.
If you build it, nerds will come.
That was an awesome stadium too.
Oh yeah. But there's no way they're building that in 24 hours, by the way. The concrete wouldn't have set.
Yeah.
Overnight.
God is on that one, huh?
Yeah.
I just want to shout out because I feel like it's on my brain right now. I feel if I don't say it right now, I'm gonna forget. Did you notice the voice of his car, Knight Rider? Did you notice who that was?
No.
Shout out to Boy Meets World, Mr. Feeny.
Oh, yeah. Actually, yeah, that makes sense. I can hear it now.
Yeah, exactly. Try not to wreck me, Mel. That was Mr. Feeny, bro.
That's awesome. Straight up. Shout out, Mr. Feeny.
Shout out, Mr. Feeny. Feeny. Heck yeah, bro. Heck yeah. All right, let's move on to the best song of the movie. Had a few good songs in this movie, actually.
A few. But my personal favorite has to be Gasolina by Daddy Yankee.
Okay.
When Carlos steps up to the plate and he really kicks it on, it's like.
Yeah. Gasolina.
Yeah.
That is good. That is good. I got Electric Avenue.
Okay.
Electric Avenue. I think he was stepping up to pitch. And you got that nice beat of Electric Avenue popping in the back. I love that. I love that, man.
Heck yeah, yeah, yeah. Finally, you know, several of the movies we've done have not had a soundtrack. Right. So I like when they do.
Yeah, for sure. I love picking my favorite song from there. All right, buddy. All right. Does it deserve a sequel? Does the Benchwarmers deserve a sequel? What do you think?
So based on what you were talking about earlier when I was talking about Michael Cera and them, you probably don't know that it does have a sequel. Benchwarmers 2, Breaking Balls.
I didn't know that.
The problem is the only returning actor was John Levitz. So it's not as good. And it got a terrible reviews. So my answer is no, it probably doesn't deserve a sequel.
I didn't know that. I have no idea, bro. No idea. Did you ever watch it?
No, I literally just found that out, taking notes for this. Oh. But I definitely want to watch it now, yeah, regardless of how terrible the reviews were, just to see. Apparently, it's about like a lawyer or banker or something who his job is like, you know, dull and day in and day out, and he wants to relive his glory days. So he goes decides to play baseball in Little League, you know, or something like that. And John Lovitz is like the coach, or I don't know.
Keep it under a billion. Okay. Yeah. No. From what you've said, I don't think it deserves a sequel. I mean, I guess it did get one, but if I was going to think of one, I'd say like I'd like to see Gus as a kid, his whole backstory. You know, like bring Marcus back in there, the little dude. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that could be interesting. You know, I mean, that might be something interesting worth
watching. Yeah, and they could even do a couple little cameos, you know, to the other guys, you know, hopping in there from their town and everything, and seeing Richie and Clark. And,
yeah, exactly.
You know, just or like something about where Gus is in school, and then you just see a kid getting his head banged in the wall, and it's like, was that Richie though? Like, it was just a couple towns over, you
right?
Know,
so. Might be interesting. Might be interesting. I feel like you killed all my sequel thoughts with that.
With the actual sequel
that was terrible. But hey, you know what? I like you said, I feel like I still need to watch it, man, and check it out. I assume that's probably a Happy Madison production as well, right?
I don't know, honestly, because John Lovitz is the only one that returned. So that's what makes me think that it's just kind of like a knockoff almost, you know?
I have to check it out. I don't know if you know this, but Nick Swartzen and Alan Covert also wrote this movie. So
I did not know that.
Alan Covert is the guy. He's in like every single Adam Sandler movie from Happy Gilmore. He was his caddy. God, this dude is everywhere, though. Did you ever see Grandma's Boy?
Yeah.
He was the main guy in Grandma's Boy. That's
okay.
Alan Covert.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that guy, him and Adam Sandler have been like close for a long time. Obviously, I don't know the whole story about that, but there's an old movie that Adam Sandler did like before Billy Madison. I can't remember what it was called. But it was like he was like in the ocean or something on a boat. It was terrible. But the point is Alan Covert was in that movie as well, dude. So just thought I'd throw that out there.
Heard.
All right, buddy. Here's a tough one for me, but maybe you got one for us. Make one real life player comparison. Now, I'm not a baseball guy, so I don't know if I can help you with this one, but what'd you come up with?
I'm not a baseball guy either. So what I did is I actually just Googled short baseball players. And I picked Marcus Stroman, who's a 32-year-old pitcher for the Chicago Cubs, and he is 5'7".
There you go.
And I'm like, that's Gus.
Pitcher and all.
Gus Bus.
Gus Bus.
That's a good one, man.
Good stuff. All right. How about the Johnny Lawrence Award, man? The Johnny Lawrence Award, is the villain actually the villain? Or are they being gaslit in this instance, Trey?
Yeah, man. So, first of all, you know, we always identify the villain. To me, the main villain of this movie was just bullying in general.
Sure.
But I would say that if I had to pinpoint the villain to one person, it would be the coach of the other team.
Jerry, right?
Yeah. And to me, you know, yes, Jerry is a bully. But also, like, Jerry's out here coaching Little League. He's not trying to play a bunch of grown men. You know what I mean? Like, I understand his frustration.
Well, I mean, he didn't have to. They wanted that stadium, right? So that's why, you know, John Lovitz made it to where it's like, you don't have to play if you don't want to, but why wouldn't you? You know, you
could sure, play a free sure. Stadium. But then he's also like, you know, well, man, you know, my kids, they need a new stadium. So we gotta go out there and win this, you know?
Yeah.
And you know what? He didn't start bullying Gus Bus.
Yeah.
Until he called him Fairy Jerry. That's all I got to say.
I guess. Well, he was giving crap to his homeboys. And he was a bully when he was a kid.
Yeah.
And he just continued the string of bulliness as he got older. So I am not going with your argument that this guy is might have some. Okay, he coaches Little League, but, you know, I'll give him that. That's all he gets.
I'll take it.
He'll take it. He'll take it. He'll take it. Yeah, Jerry and, you know, all the mean kids growing up. I mean, that's who I got too. How about a souvenir from the movie? So many good things from this movie. I've got a couple of good ones.
I got a couple of good ones too. I'm going to jump with this one first because I'm worried you might have it, and it's real good. And it's a Everyone Loves an Asian Boy cutoff t-shirt David Spade wears.
Yeah.
I want that shirt. Everyone loves an Asian boy.
Why is he wearing that, by the way?
I have no idea. But it's hilarious.
Yeah, I bet you could definitely get that shirt easily,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to jump in here then. Number 7. Okay. Yeah. The robot coming, making sandwiches, doing all that stuff. I want that dude. And he talks crap. Bring it on, number 7.
And he identifies your urine.
Yeah.
And tells you what you need to eat right or whatever.
Yeah. You eat too much sugar, whatever. Yeah. I love it. Number 7. Go for it.
All right. Next, I've got Gus Bus, the actual bus. I mean, it sleeps 5 and it's got a PlayStation.
That's a direct quote. How about the Knight Rider car?
He says, PlayStation. Yeah, Knight Rider. I definitely would rock that ride
with Feeny in there. Heck yeah,
Feeny specifically.
And then, you know, I'd love a bench warmers hat. You know,
yeah,
that'd be cool. Just have a bench warmers hat.
I got the Mega Mitt from the Hibbets whatever sports store. The big Mega Mitt.
Yeah,
that would be cool. And then finally, Carlos's birth certificate. I think that would be super cool to have framed on the wall. You know, I am 12.
That would be pretty cool, man.
More like 1,200.
It's written in green crayon. I love it. All right, let's move on to Where Are They Now, Trey? Where are the folks from this movie now?
Yeah, so Rob Schneider, not really doing many movies as of late, doing more stand-up, which we went and saw. Not that long ago. Yeah, that was awesome. Front row at Rob Schneider. He was super funny.
Yeah,
But he's really been spreading more of political views and his conservative point of views. He's even been on Fox News.
Oh, man. Calm down, Rob. Stick to the funny stuff, buddy.
Yeah, but I mean, I remember even in the stand-up, you know, he did have some, you know, kind of conservative jokes. But they were good. They were funny.
When you mentioned that he was doing some stuff, it clicked. Like, I remember him saying a few things. He was obviously working out there. He was going through stuff. He was getting jokes, fitting them together, making it good. You could tell
him what clicked.
Doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Rob Schneider doing things. Who else you got?
David Spade actually is a co-host on Fly on the Wall podcast with fellow SNL alum Dana Carvey.
Ooh.
But they just now this year changed the podcast from Fly on the Wall to the Superfly podcast. David Spade and Dana Carvey. I've never heard of it, but I think that would be a great one to watch.
That would be a good one to listen to, man. Shout out to them guys, man. Like that.
And then, he also did The Wrong Missy in 2020. So if you haven't seen that movie, it's on Netflix. It's hilarious.
The Wrong Missy. I don't know if
it's
hilarious.
Seen it,
is it good? It's good?
Hmm. Yeah, he basically gets a divorce or whatever, and he meets this girl and a blind date. And then she's like
a nerdy guy.
Yeah. And he goes on a blind date, and the girl is crazy. Okay, so he like sneaks out the window, you know, but then he finds a super hot girl in the airport that they click with. Her name is also Missy. He's got to go on a business trip for work in Hawaii. So he texts her and he's like, hey, you want to come to Hawaii with me? But he texts the wrong Missy. So the other crazy girl goes to Hawaii and it's hilarious.
I remember it now. I guarantee it's good. I like the chick that plays, I think it's the wrong Missy.
Yeah. She's funny too. She is hilarious.
Isn't Adam Sandler in that too?
I don't think so. No? I don't think he's in it. I mean, that I can recall.
Okay. I couldn't remember. John Heder.
Yeah.
What's up with him?
Yeah. John Heder also has a podcast.
Oh, of course.
And he has a movie coming out this year called Plan B. Okay. Where a woman has a one-night stand with her neighbor, played by Heder. And then tries to hook up with a rich businessman to play off a pregnancy that she gets from Heather because she doesn't want her crazy, weird neighbor to be her baby daddy.
Jesus. Is it a comedy?
Yeah, surely.
I just wonder what kind of character he's playing in that, dude. Like, I could see him playing like a more serious role too. I could definitely see him doing that, you know.
Definitely. I don't know that I could actually. I don't know how I could see him playing a serious role. It'd be hard to see it,
but I feel like he has the range to do it.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Capable of doing it. Good stuff. We got any more for us, buddy?
That's it on where they now.
That's where they are now. Okay, let's get to, is this the movie? Is this the main actor's best movie? Talking about Rob Schneider here.
Man, you know, it's a great movie and it's a great Rob Schneider movie, but I can't say that it is his best. Top five by far.
Yeah, it's in there. I know your number one,
Rob Schneider. It's The Animal.
Exactly.
Yeah. 100%.
Exactly.
I love that movie. I live and die by that Rob Schneider movie.
He loves it. He loves it. I've got it, The Hot Chick. As yeah. like my favorite Rob Schneider movie. And Deuce Bigelow, Male Gigolo is yeah, right there.
It's right there for me too. Right but I'm there. Like,
I mean, I was like really obsessed with Deuce Bigelow. I must have watched that movie a million times, dude. I love that movie. So I'm going to go no. It's not his best because I like The Hot Chick, but it's a good one. It's
definitely.
I could go top five, definitely, man. Yeah. If I really sat and thought about it, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. A Demolition Man. Rob Schneider was in Demolition Man and yeah. Home Alone, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Back in the day, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, that, you know.
I don't count. I'm with you. All right. This is one of my favorite parts, man. Movie secrets you didn't know. Hit us with something.
Yeah. So just to preface here, there were several mistakes in this filming, like booms being caught on camera,
really?
People changing clothes mid-scene. Hmm. I mean, just several different things. There was a list of like 50.
Wow.
Right. So I didn't grab all of them, but I did grab a couple. Right before they noticed Kit in the background, there's a brunette lady wearing a pink top and white bottoms. She just walked out of the pizza place. Then the next scene, you see her walk out of the pizza place again, even though she was just outside moments before.
You didn't notice that.
Any of them. I just saw a list of 50.
It's crazy because I'm usually pretty good at noticing those things, but I didn't notice that.
During the first game of the tournament, the sky repeatedly changes from day to night over and over again during really? The first game. Yeah, that's something I thought I would... you know, notice, but I guess when they say day to night, it might mean like, you know, sunny to almost night, you know, because yeah. I think if it was going from day to pitch black, I would have noticed.
Absolutely. I don't feel like how I didn't see that, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Huh.
When Molly tells Gus he should have been home by 6 p.m., Gus claims he thought she meant mountain time rather than specific time. 6 p.m. Mountain Time is earlier than 6 p.m. Pacific Time, meaning Gus would have been home on time had he followed his own logic.
Maybe. Oh, wow. But okay, so if you were trying to, I mean, a normal person, would they catch that?
No, because like, I didn't know until I found, yeah. I literally, when you said that, I looked over at my wife and I said, that's a good excuse.
Not really, because you're from Colorado.
Yeah, I thought you were ovulating based on where you're born.
I guess that was kind of good.
She took it. She's like, no, honey. He's like, oh, my bad.
Yeah. Next time, what did he say?
Pacific time.
Pacific time, yeah.
All right, I got some more. Howie, our favorite character, is said to have agoraphobia, which is the fear of open and public places. Mm-hmm. However, Howie shows more symptoms of heliophobia, which is fear of sunlight.
Well, he's got both, I thought. I thought I read that. I don't remember them saying it, but when I was looking through notes and stuff like that, I seen something that said he had that / the other one.
Okay, because in the show, they say agoraphobia.
Yeah, they do.
Agoraphobia, I mean. But... I was kind of thinking about this after I read this, that in the very end of the movie, when he's under the table and the dude's like, you know, talking to him, he's eating the sunscreen. He's like, you know, the sun is not as scary anymore. And he's like, what about the moon? And he's like, no. So, you know, it's not just the sun, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, moon bad.
Moon bad. That's all I got.
That's a good, man. That's good. I love that, man. I love I actually love catching those type of things when watching a movie. It makes me feel like I'm a superior human being when I'm able to be that observant and see the mistakes that other people don't. You know what I mean?
Definitely, definitely.
All right, buddy. What keeps you coming back to the Benchwarmers?
I mean, it's the endless supply of laughs and just dumb humor. You know, there's funny movies and then there's dumb funny movies. And this is a dumb funny movie, but that's why I love it.
Yeah. I love a dumb funny movie. Some people, they can't really, it's just not their cup of tea. Yeah. They just can't stand it. It's so stupid that it doesn't deserve their attention. You know? Some people are like that. And I can understand that state of mind, but I mean, life's too short to not.
Yeah, exactly. I'm glad that I'm not that person because I can enjoy regular comedy and dumb comedy.
Exactly. I mean, that's why David Spade's one-liners is another thing that just keeps pulling me back.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I love it. Beautiful. Now, normally at this point in the show, we would rate the movie, give it our flex score, but do something a little different, my friend. We're going to see how well you were paying attention. I'm going to ask you a few trivia questions from the movie. Nothing too crazy, so don't get nervous. I just got a couple questions. I thought, you know, when we've talked about so many of these, so you might even have already heard the answer.
Heard.
So let's see what we got. All right. What is the name of the kid Gus picked on as a kid?
Marcus.
Yeah. Marcus. I like a Lee.
My peanut butter action figure.
Dude, that guy was freaking out when he saw Gus, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like we didn't get to even talk
about him. No, I know. How do we not bring him up? No, which I guess, you know, it took a while to get to him in the movie, too. Yeah. So it took a while to get to him here. But yeah, no, he was great. And I want to know if, like, he did any other movies.
I feel like I'd seen him in something before. I don't know what.
I feel like you would have to know if you saw him. You know what I mean?
I'm saying his face just looked familiar to me. What's up with those glasses, bro? His eyes were freaking humongous, bro.
I think that was
on purpose.
A dress. You know, they did that to enhance his weirdness.
Look, Grandma, another peanut butter sculpture. All right, good job, Marcus. The correct answer. All right, what restaurant do the Benchwarmers go to after their first win?
Pizza Hut, baby.
Yes, sir. That's what I'm saying. We basically talked.
That's when David Spade meets the Pizza Hut girl.
That's right. I love salad.
I do too.
He said that on the news. He's like, I just want to say, I love salad.
Yeah, he was like, shout out to the pizza girl or the Pizza Hut salad bar girl. Yeah. I love salad.
All right. Complete this quote.
Uh-oh.
I bet you're a real good catcher of. All right, let me paint the scene. Yeah, all right. He's like, oh, I bet you're a real good something. He's like, yeah, I bet you're or I bet you're a real good catcher of donuts in your mouth.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I knew you would feel like you knew it.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet you're a real good catcher of donuts in your mouth.
Yeah. All right, let's see. I got one more for you. What makes Howie finally come out of the house?
The Girl Scout cookies.
Okay. Other than that, how do they get him on the bench? What does David Spade tell him to make him leave the house and come to a game?
I can't remember.
Okay. It's about the serial killer on the loose in his neighborhood. He's killing anyone named Howie. That's my name.
Yeah. He's like, that's my name.
That's my name. I love it. All right. Got the trivia out of the way. You did great, buddy. You did great.
2 out of 2.
That works. All right. Finally get to it. Our flex score. Trey, rate that movie, my friend.
Yeah. So this is pretty easy for me going down. I mean, this is 8 out of 10 all day.
Oh, 8 out of 10. I'm surprised. It's funny. You finally didn't break it up. And I finally did break it up.
Oh, there you go.
What are the odds? Okay, for a comedy, I'm going a solid 7.
Okay.
Lots of laughs, lots of money. For a sports movie, though, I got to go 4.
Yeah, I would give it a 3 for a sports movie. I mean, even the score and the way they were keeping score was just incorrect, like analytically, like the way the innings, how many innings there were and stuff like that. Like, yeah. There was no way for them to score as many points as they did in certain scenarios and things yeah. like that. So it was, you know.
6.5, or I mean, I'm sorry, 7 comedy, 4 sports movie. You feel like that feels okay to you?
Yeah, man, that's okay. Fine. I got 8 comedy, 3 sports movies.
So, okay, yeah, I like it. I like it. It's funny, bro. You finally did one score, and I finally did the double scoring thing, which I really liked. But
yeah,
good stuff. Good stuff. I love it, man. The Benchwarmers, great movie, Trey. Great movie.
No doubt. No doubt.
Join us next week. We'll be doing another movie. Keep ahead. We'll maybe give some spoilers out. Just don't forget spoilers. To hit the like button. Subscribe to Fourth and Flicks if you have not done so already. Any of our fantasy football lovers, man, don't worry, man. When the football starts, you boys are coming back. This is just something to keep us busy during the off season, man, because we love doing this. We love talking to you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Guys, thank you so much for watching, and we shall see thee on the next one.
Peace.
Let's go. I wake up to a little bit of drool on my pillow, feel like it's gonna be a bad day. Yeah, I'm tired of shit, and the coffee ain't hit yet, damn, ain't that great. I don't wanna go to work, cause my boss is a jerk, and I'm not even that paid. I need a change in my life, cause I don't feel alive, and there's nothing that makes me happy. Hold my beer for a minute, I'm about to quit my job, cash in for a ticket. I'm going on a trip, and I don't plan to visit. I'm gonna stay there till I feel like I'm winning all. And this is just the beginning. I need a big change, help me feel like living. I need a big swing, home runs I'm hitting. And I'll never look back, moving on till I get it all.
Cut, print, that's a wrap.